It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
So our listener Jordan here is very, very confused and wants some closure, can't figure out why she has been left out of the will. We have answers for her today. Hey, Jordan, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I'm hoping to be better after this call.
You sound peeved. What are you peeved about?
Well, you know, my grandpa passed away last year, and when his will was read, every single one of my cousins received something meaningful, you know, money or heirlooms, land, or even just like a keepsake. But I was the only grandchild that was left out completely, like not a penny or even something sentimental.
Not a mention, not even like, and to Jordan, I leave nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. I just like didn't exist anymore.
Oh, no, 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 no. You're wrong. He did leave you something, a big middle finger.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it feels like. I was really hurt because I was close with him growing up. And so I don't know if this was some kind of mistake or he intentionally left me out. And I mean, if he did intentionally, then I have no idea what I did to deserve it.
And I'm assuming you have had tried to have conversations with your cousins. I don't know, like, what is your relationship with your cousins? Are you close with them? Are you not close with them? Because I have cousins that I don't even talk to.
Yeah, I'm close with some of them, some not as much. But anytime I've tried to talk to my family about it, they're super tight-lipped. You know, they just want to brush it off, change the subject, just tell me to let it go.
Okay, now you said when you were younger, you were really tight with your grandfather. As an adult, were you just as tight?
Not as much so because, you know, I like moved away for school and that sort of stuff. So a lot of it was just lack of proximity.
But you wouldn't say that you were any less close than any of your other cousins?
I didn't think so.
Jordan, did your grandfather have any like memory issues or health problems towards the end that honestly just might have made him not forget you, but just not have the cognitive ability to remember to put you in the will?
Nothing like beyond like normal old age. You know, there were moments of like short-term stuff of having to remember, you know, remember grandpa, like it happened like this, or you know, as people get older, they tell you the same story over and over again, but it didn't seem significant.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 25 years. yeah, even if like you're a little soft as you get older, when you're filling out that will, you're going to have somebody around going, hey, Pops, you forgot about Jordan, you know?
Well, I'm wondering how we're going to do this closure call. Like, do we have an Etsy witch on the line? Are we doing a seance? Are we getting Gramps to tell us from the grave?
She asked us to press her family to get information because in the email, Jordan said that she feels like the family's holding something back. Like they're sweeping something underneath the rug. Like just let it go. You know, she could tell in her gut and that there is something more. They're just not disclosing it to her. So our task was to reach out to the family members to see if we could get them to finally come clean about whatever happened to cause Grandpa to kick Jordan out of the will.
And when we say our task, we really mean Tommy.
Yes.
All right, Tommy, you reached out to how many of the cousins and you got some answers back, right?
I reached out to 5 of the cousins and by some answers, you mean 1 responded.
Okay. All right. So we do have and were they insightful? Did they give you anything?
We will see.
What a great tease, Tommy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I learned that from Seacrest after the break.
See you in 2 and 2. All right, Jordan, give us a second here, and maybe we have some helpful information, and maybe we don't.
Maybe we don't.
We will see.
But we did get a response.
And Abby and Tommy said, we will see.
We will see.
Next.
The Burt Show.
So we got to get some closure here for our listener, Jordan, who is very, very confused that she thought she was pretty tight with her grandfather, right? As tight as the other cousins, but there's one big problem here.
Yeah, she wasn't put in the will. And she's like, what the heck? When I was 5 years old, we were best buds. But, you know, as you get older and you lose, I guess, contact with family members, you move away, like, naturally there's kind of like the separation process that happens. But as far as she knows, she really doesn't feel like anything big happened in her family that would lead to her getting left out of her grandfather's will.
And she can't ask him.
Yeah, because he's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, we could try, but, you know, astute observation there.
Yeah, you really can't. So she's a little on the myth side. So she gave Tommy, our show director, five different cousins to reach out to see if anybody had any kind of insight. And Tommy's amazing tease was, we will find out if they gave us anything when we come back.
Well, to be fair, he said, of the five, only one responded. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping you sweet-talked this one into providing information for Jordan.
Well, I sweet-talked all of them, but only one responded. So my sugar only worked on 1B.
Okay.
And don't talk to us about your sugar.
And Jordan, Tommy gave me the email to read to you. And I will say this. The one who reached out obviously needed to get some stuff off their chest. They needed to clear their conscience. There was something that they needed to confess to you.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm excited to hear what this is now.
So you're going to get answers, but then I think after you get an answer, you're going to have a lot more questions. So
those are always fun.
I know, right? You're getting an answer, yeah. But it's just going to be a slew of more questions. So the cousin that did reach back out wants to remain anonymous, all right? I mean, granted, you got a 1 in 5 chance of figuring out who it is, but nonetheless, they didn't want to be disclosed, especially on the radio.
But maybe the tone of the email will tell you which cousin it is. If you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, can be. All right, so, and they wrote this specifically to you. So, okay. Jordan, they said, I really debated whether or not to say anything. But this has been weighing on me for a long time. The truth is, you weren't left out of Grandpa's will by accident. In fact, you were originally supposed to inherit the largest portion of his estate. But before he finalized everything, a family member told him something about you that completely changed how he felt.
Oh, my God.
I need you to understand it wasn't based on truth. It was a lie. If because Grandpa believed it, he made the decision to cut you out.
Oh, man. What do they say about, like, family members and people that death brings the worst, the best or worst out in you?
I know this probably raises more questions than answers, but I'm not in a place where I can reveal who said it or exactly what was said. What I can tell you is that you didn't do anything wrong to deserve this. This wasn't about you failing him. It was about someone else's jealousy or resentment. I'm sorry. I know it doesn't fix the situation, but at least now you know it wasn't because Grandpa didn't love you. He did a lot. He just never saw the truth before it was too late.
Oh, my God.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah. That'll drive you crazy.
You think?
You should have never emailed us.
I know.
You should have never reached out.
Yeah.
Let's make it worse.
Yeah.
But you do deserve answers. So if anything, all right, let's look at the silver lining here. All right. Seriously.
I'm squinting real hard, okay. Kristen.
No, but at least you know that. Because I know you had stated, you know, what did I do, like, to cause my grandpa to fall out of love with me, for him to, like, you didn't do anything, all right? You are not in the wrong. Somebody.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
You know what I'm saying?
It wouldn't help me.
Me neither.
Are you serious? You're telling me I'm supposed to get $100K from grandpa, okay. And the fact that he still loves me from the grave is going to help me move on?
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
No.
And if he actually loved you unconditionally, he would have taken
you out. I'm feeling a whole lot of different things right now. I mean, like you said, I'm feeling relief. Uh-huh. You know, that, you know, I was right in thinking that I had that relationship with my grandfather, that I didn't, you know, I personally didn't do anything to break that. But now I am so angry, like confused and hurt and so pissed off.
Well, now I feel like you got more legwork to do. It's like you got to go from cousin to cousin trying to find out exactly what went on. And you don't even know who has the info.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I would need to be strategic about this. I mean, I guess it's public. Everyone is hearing this now, but wow.
If I were you, I'd be mad at the entire family if they knew this was going on and nobody said anything or tried to justify it in any way. Yeah. Everyone's just sitting on their cash that they got, and they're like, well, sucks to suck.
Just meant more for us.
Oh, man, Jordan's so sad.
Now, was your grandfather in, like, the right mind to where he could process exactly this manipulation that was going on? Or did he just take it at somebody, you think? It's just, you know what, it must be the truth. And if he was, like, close with you, he would have gone. He would have come to you, I think.
You know, near the end, I don't know. One or two of the other cousins were helping a little bit more with the caregiving at that point. So it might have been that someone had engendered more trust. You know, and people are weird when they're dying. You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're a little shell-shocked by that information, because I know we were when we got the email. So I think now 100%. You just have to, like, absorb it and digest it and process it and then figure out how you want to move from here.
Yes, and then feel totally helpless.
No. There's nothing they can do. Yeah, Gramps is dead.
Right.
I would still want to know, like, would you let this go or would you try to get to the bottom of it?
You know what I think she should do? I'll tell you what I think she should do.
What should she do, Herbert?
I think that she should go to all of the cousins, and I bet they'd go, you know what? We're just going to give you our portion, some of our portion of our will, so everybody has it even. That's what I think she should do.
I'd be sending that the world's largest Venmo request.
I mean, if you can fact find and get, like, legitimate on record answers, you could challenge the will.
You can test it.
You can sit there and be like, he in his old age was infirm and not of sound mind and was manipulated by a caregiver into changing the will, and you can contest it.
No old guy wants to be called unfirm.
Wow.
Well, if you're 90. She did not say unfirm. She said infirm.
Oh, I thought you said unfirm.
I don't know what I said, but you're definitely not firm at 90.
Getting to a certain age where nobody wants to be called that.
Yeah, but I mean, challenge it. And then you have on record, like, the cousin saying, like, hey, I didn't want to say anything, but your grandpa was lied to. I mean, that's manipulation of an elderly person.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more concrete proof for you, but I think Krista nailed it. Now there's more questions than there are answers. So, but this whole thing really does suck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Jordan,
thank you. I mean, I feel like I have a way forward now, at least. I got something.
Yeah. And you know, I was joking with Kristen, but there is some comfort, even if it's small, knowing that you didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Yeah, 100%.
That won't pay the bills, though.
No. We'll send you to Crete. Yeah, if this was my family, there would be another will being read in the next 6 to 7 business days.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I think Jackson here has realized something about himself, that he doesn't have a sophisticated palate when it comes to movie watching.
Yeah, you could say that. This is going to probably cause some strife for some people in the studio and also probably people online. But I was having a conversation with some friends about favorite movies, and everyone's throwing out these either, like, old classics like The Godfather and Scarface and all these other movies, or, like, very highly critically acclaimed movies that are on what they would call, like, their top 3, their top 5, their top 10 list, right? And I was thinking, like, yeah, I can enjoy those movies, but my list looked a lot different when I really started to think about what my favorite movies are. And it was kind of a stark look in the mirror that my list is full of movies that are basically all movies that only teenage boys would like, I think.
You think there's, like, nostalgia there then, I guess?
For sure. That definitely plays a part in it, where you look back and think about where I was in my life when I was watching some of these movies and, like, the impact that they had. And so the list that I've written is not necessarily maybe a list of, like, what I they're my favorite movies, but also probably the movies that I've seen the most as well on repeat.
All right, before you go there, let's go around the room and what are our favorite movies to see if our palate is as stupid as yours.
Well, okay, so I see your idea and raise you another idea. What if we came up with a list, gave it to Cassie and Rebecca, they put it online and try to match the Burt Show member with the favorite movie list?
Sure. I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit more obvious than...
It's going to be so obvious.
It will. And so the last thing that I want to say before I expose myself here is that I watch movies for entertainment purposes, mm-hmm. right? I want to be entertained.
What are there? What's the other reason to watch a movie?
Well, some people really are interested in like incredible acting and amazing directing, and the score is all around fantastic. No plot holes. Wow, what a high bar to set. Whereas I look at it from just the lens of being entertained. So when I look at reviews, I'm always looking at Google user reviews, audience reviews over critic scores for movies.
Same. That's why when I go to a movie with my kid, who's a performing arts kid, we walk out of there. He sees things in that movie about the score, like you said, about the lighting, about characters and their definition, and I'm like, I'm just trying to escape for an hour. That's all, man. I didn't see any of that.
Exactly. I feel seen.
The best part is this is the conversation I was a part of when Jackson was telling us his favorite movies at the table with someone we work with at Pioneer, who literally was like Ed Helms' assistant, works on movie sets, sits in writer's rooms. And when Jackson said his favorite movie, her face looked like you stole her firstborn child. Like the shock that registered on her face was like, I didn't think anyone could have that as a favorite movie. It feels illegal. And it was one of my highlights was looking at her face when you were running down your list.
Well, some people, when it comes to movies in Hollywood, are so stuffy and artistic.
It can be a little pretentious.
Snobby, yes.
What is your favorite movie, out of curiosity? American Pie?
No, not American Pie.
Worse.
So my
American Pie 2. This one time at band camp.
My list, in no particular order of my top five, but the first one that I'm going to say actually might be number one.
Shrek 2.
Great movie. Great. Probably cuts the top 10.
The soundtrack honestly hits.
Okay. The original Transformers movie from 2007.
Good Lord.
Was Megan Fox in that one?
Yeah, she was.
Okay. It's up there.
Wow. I only heard a good Lord from Tommy. That's pretty good.
I never actually saw it.
You do actually get really attached to Bumblebee for whatever reason.
You do. Like, Shia LaBeouf is fantastic.
Not you justifying his poor taste.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was impressive. I will give it to Michael Bay that you were able to have emotions for these machines and Bumblebee, who I don't think spoke a word.
Nope.
But just with like his facial expressions and stuff, you fell for him.
I think Megan Fox could have not spoken in a word and people would have still attached to her.
Did she speak a word?
I don't remember. If she did, we don't remember.
It'd still be my favorite movie. And I will say the CGI in that movie still holds the test of time if you go back and rewatch it. So I highly recommend that one. Okay. This next one's harder to defend. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
I never saw it, so I can't comment on it.
It's so stupid.
It's really stupid, but it's so cool and fun and like cars and drifting and like it's awesome.
Is it an Asian connection for you there?
Probably a little bit. That is my,
it's not even the one with Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
No,
it's the one with the kid from Sling Blade.
It is the one that's kind of off the beaten track from the other 11 that they've done, but it's my favorite one.
So this is not the one where they go into space.
No, okay. No. This is when they were more tied to the actual racing of the Fast and Furious, not robbing banks and going to space.
There's one where they go to space?
Yeah, yes. I'm pretty sure there is.
Like Fast and Furious 28, the last one that just came out.
How to Train Your Dragon.
You're kidding.
That's such a good movie.
Thank you.
It's a pretty endearing movie.
It's so unnecessarily sad.
It's so good. No. And the music in that movie is also fantastic.
Has the real one come out yet?
Yes.
You know
yes.
They're doing a live action.
I saw that as well. I think
I like that movie because my kid loved it so much. So while we were watching it, it's more endearing for me because it was endearing for him.
I see.
But I don't know if it's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Like the premise and the lesson. There's great lessons to take away from the movie that I think are wonderful for kids.
Agreed. And my last two, I don't think are as hot of takes. One being Interstellar.
That's a great movie.
That's my favorite.
I think that's up there with Transformers for me as, tied for one.
Transformers and Interstellar.
I don't think I know it.
Is that the astronaut movie with Matthew McConaughey? And
Jessica Chastain.
Christopher Nolan directed it.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, super good. And my last one is Finding Nemo.
That's a good one, too.
But favorite movie?
What? It's
my
so good.
Favorite movie.
Top Pixar movie. In the top three of Pixar
Listen,
movies for sure.
Don't hate the man. He's picking movies that match his emotional intelligence level. Okay?
She raises a good point.
Yeah, Interstellar was real good.
The Burt Show.
It's been a day and a half doing The Burt Show, and I think I finally have some mental clarity. It happened around 8 o'clock this morning. Just because we've been on vacation, you know, I have that fog, that haze, and I kind of feel like this is a good time to do this because now I am clear.
You should have waited till afterwards to see how we performed on whether you wanted to declare that.
Yeah. Good call. So maybe I don't have that much mental clarity.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you still suck.
Okay. Only time will tell. And we won't have to wait long. It is time for Gen X versus Gen Z trivia. Gen X is losing. We're only down by four.
Only down by four. Let's and again, the rule is we either got to win by two for this thing to end, or we got to lose by 10, a.k.a. the slaughter rule.
Mikey's got the early stages of a beard, so I'm hoping that means he's matured and got more wisdom over the break.
I've been maturing. I lost a lot of brain cells, but yes, I've been maturing.
How long did it take you to grow that thing?
It's been 23 years.
23 years
to grow the beard?
Yeah, it's only been 23 years.
Is that that's not even officially a beard.
No,
it's terrible.
It's like a goatee.
No, it's not even long enough to be that, mm-hmm. is it?
It's pubes.
Okay. No, seriously,
I don't want to know how you got them on your chin.
Did you get like a Locks of Love donation and just patch up on there?
So from a shaved face to that, how long does it take to go from a shaved face to that?
It gets faster every time, but it's maybe a week. See, it gets really bad on, what's this called, your side face or something?
Your sideburns?
Cheeks, yeah.
Side face?
The cheeks look terrible, so then I have to shave it. It all looks bad. I don't know what to do. I hate shaving. It hurts. So I roll with it for as long as I can until someone mentions it. And so today I'll go home and shave it.
No. You've got to keep it up till Halloween because you have got to go as Shaggy now.
Oh, yeah.
Dress your dog up as Scoob.
That would be perfect, yeah.
It would because he just had that little thing on that patch on the chin.
Yeah. Zoinks.
I'll get rid of the upper lip.
All right, Cass, you want to host this thing?
Yes, we are at Gen X has 14 points. Gen Z has 18. I'm not feeling good for Gen Z since Mikey didn't know the word for cheek.
that's not going to be one of the questions.
All right, and the rules again. We Gen Xers will try to answer questions that Gen Z for sure would know and vice versa.
Oh my God, if you ask anything about the VMAs, we're screwed.
I didn't watch. And all I know is that the ratings kicked ass.
Oh, yeah?
Outside of that, I know nothing.
All right, Gen X, first up.
VMAs were what?
Name one member of BTS.
Oh, wait.
No. Jackson Kim.
Of BTS.
We've interviewed them.
There's a one-namer in there, too. He's got one. It's
David.
No. Chuck. It's Chuck.
Chuck's my favorite. I have a poster of him in my room. BTS.
Oh, come on,
we have
Kristen.
Interviewed them multiple times.
You guys are more.
Begins with a J. There's a name that begins with a J.
There are three that begin with a J.
Okay.
Jack.
No.
Johnson.
No.
I think you kind of want to think a little less white.
Yeah.
Jung.
A little more Korean.
Jung.
No.
I'm not too far off. I'm not too far off on that.
Is it Jaw?
Jaw?
Did I get canceled?
The name begins with a J.
It's Jungish.
Kim Jung?
No.
Ja Rule?
No. What
the heck? Okay.
Yeah. All right, we got RM. Jin, Suga.
Jin was the one I was trying to think of.
J-Hope, Jimin, V, and Jungkook.
Jungkook.
Yeah, so close and yet so very, very far. Gen Z, name one member of New Kids on the Block.
Oh.
Hit him.
I need full name.
Come on. Wait.
New Kids on the Block.
Is one of them more famous than the rest of them?
Give me a second. Let me power up.
Is there four?
I'm having like the dial-up signal go on in my head.
Okay. Come on. I literally couldn't help you with this.
I feel like I know one, but I can't think of what his name is.
Johnson.
Robbie.
Robbie.
Can I?
Yes.
Okay. There's Joey McIntyre. There's Jordan Knight and Jonathan Knight. They are brothers. There's also Donnie Wahlberg and there's Danny Wood.
And Jungkook.
And who could forget about John?
Yeah, I don't recognize a single one of those.
But Joey
things.
McIntyre was my favorite. That's the pillow I slept with every night.
All right. Question two. No one got any points in that round.
Yeah, that's pretty. That happens a lot.
Yep.
Gen X. What shoe brand did Gen Z help revive as a streetwear staple?
New Balance.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, that's good.
Very good.
Booyah!
I was about to say tree torn.
Well, you're saying what?
Tree torns.
What is a tree torn?
You don't remember tree torns? Those little white shoes that had like the swoosh and they had like paisleys and stuff inside the swoosh, but it wasn't a Nike, it was a tree torn?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Was that like a, if you couldn't afford a Nike?
I think it was a Payless Shoes special.
Okay, it was.
No shade, I used to shop at Payless every school year.
I also got the off-brand Keds from there as well.
All right, so it's 18-15 now.
It is 18-15.
Okay. All right.
Gen Z, you have a chance to match that point. Which East Coast rapper and West Coast rapper had beef in the 90s that ultimately led to their deaths? I need both rappers.
Tupac and Biggie.
Yep, that is correct.
Come on, that is simplification.
Thank you to Beard for that one. Thank you, Beard.
It's like asking who Jesus and Moses were.
Fine, I'll throw out an extra bonus point. Whoever can name the labels of both wins.
Big Boy and, or was it Death Row? No, it was Big Boy was with Diddy.
Death Row.
And that was with, what's his name? Notorious B.I.G. What was Tupac's? Help.
The other one.
Hold on. It's going to be obvious.
Death Row.
Oh, wait. Tupac was Death Row. Biggie was Big Boy.
Incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Death Row Records and Bad Boy Records. Bad Boy.
What did I say? Big Boy?
Yep.
Dummy. Come on. I knew it. I knew that.
All right, round three, we're going to play Name That Movie. I'll play the opening notes of an iconic scene, and you tell me the movie.
Who's up?
Gen X, you're up first.
Okay.
We're going to play the opening parts of this scene, and you need to tell me the movie. No.
Oh, yeah, you know this one.
I do.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect. That is correct.
You can't stutter on your answer.
I feel like that one's a little bit more millennial, but alas.
Okay.
I digress.
That's 16.
Okay.
Okay. 18, 16 right now.
And then Gen Z, name this movie.
I'm sexy.
Oh my God. Hang on.
I'm on it. I'm hot.
Time's up. Everything you're not. Bring it on.
Yay!
Hey, all right. Yes, that's what I like there.
Dang it.
Dang it.
All right. Well done. We are at 16 Gen X, 20 Gen Z.
All right, we got time for one more round.
One more round. All right. Gen X. What app prompted users once per day to take an unfiltered front and back camera photo in real time?
I remember this.
Can you repeat the question, please?
What app prompted users once a day to take an unfiltered front and back camera photo in real time? And those photos were taken at the same time.
Be real.
That is correct.
Yeah!
Okay, KK. Yeah! I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
Gen Z, what music format was known for winding it back with a pencil?
Winding it back with a pencil.
What does that mean? Winding it. Hold on.
Hang on. Give us a second.
The way you're talking about it, you're never going to get it.
Winding it back with a pencil.
Oh my God. I remember that. Wait, can you repeat the question?
What music format was known for winding back with a pencil?
Winding it back with a pencil.
Winding it back. What music format? What? Am I having a stroke?
What's that guy that stands at the front of the orchestra and goes... Bop, bop, bop,
the conductor? I'm begging you to stop. Oh, my God. Embarrassing.
You got nothing. You got nothing.
Should we go for something? Like reggaeton? What's reggaeton?
Every time you open your mouth, it gets worse.
I don't know what reggaeton is, but I've heard of it.
What was it?
The answer is a cassette tape.
Do you remember when you used to take your pencil?
I was singing genres of music.
That sounds like a you problem.
You can take the point. Yes. The eraser. So you took the point, and then you put it in a little cog, and you go...
Of course.
All right. Wait, so what's the score?
17 to 20. Gen X has made up ground by 1 point.
I thought I had 17-19. Did I miss one there?
You did.
2017. All right, we're making up some ground.
A whole point.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I've always thought it's a little unfair that sometimes I think we expect a lot out of celebrities in terms of they need to be spokespersons, spokespeople for anything and everything. And actress Io Edbury, is getting tons of praise for her very well-spoken response to an awkward interview question she got during a press junket during the 2025 Venice Film Festival, where she was asked about the hashtag Me Too and Black Lives Matter movements.
So the question was for Julia and Andrew. Now that the Me Too era and the Black Lives Matter are done, what we have to expect in Hollywood and what we lost, if we lost something, with the politically correct era?
Well, it's I know that that's not for me, and I don't know if it's purposeful, if it's not me, but I just am curious. I don't think it's done.
It's not done.
I don't think it's done at all. I think maybe hashtags might not be used as much, but I do think that there's work being done by activists, by people every day. That's beautiful, important work that's not finished. That's really, really, really active for a reason, because this world is really charged.
Yeah.
And that work isn't finished at all. Maybe if there's like not mainstream coverage in the way that there might have been
daily headlines
in the way that it might have been 8 or so years ago. But I don't think that it means that the work is done.
Mm-hmm. Someone get her in a Miss America pageant, because imagine going to promote a movie that you're in or a show or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're hit with like such a hard hitting question that is way more complicated than it is on the surface.
Her response is perfection. I absolutely love it on multiple levels. And I think this needs to remind people that just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not being done. Mm. So I think so often we're like, and it's not that it's we're visual beings, because we are, but it's like we get so caught up in, if we didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Right.
And that's not true. There's no way for you to know everything that every person is doing. And she's completely right. There are a ton of people who are still very active in both of those movements and so many other movements. Just because it's not a hashtag doesn't mean it's forgotten. Is it as mainstream? No. And I think, too, a lot of times it happens with celebrities, and they're not going to disclose every single thing that they are philanthropic for, right? There's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes, and nobody gives each other the benefit or the grace to think like, well, just because I didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And such a weird thing to be like, what is Hollywood going to get on board with? Like, it's not hashtag Me Too and Black Lives Matter are not just Hollywood parts
content
of Hollywood activism. Yeah,
right.
It's so bizarre. And she handled it so well. And I loved how she spoke about it, because I think, especially in my generation, we see some of these comedic actors and it can be very easy to put them in a box. But to hear her speak up and to go out of her way to speak up, I think is very, very cool. All right, Glenn Powell is speaking up about his ex, Gigi Paris, who kind of went on a tirade on a podcast about their very public breakup. Because if you remember the history with their relationship, they were dating while he was filming that Anyone But You movie with Sydney Sweeney. Mm-hmm. There were all these rumors that both of them were cheating on their significant others with each other. And then Gigi went on a podcast and was basically like, yeah, he was being super shady while he was filming, and basically was, you know, was basically betraying me. Maybe he didn't cheat on me with her, but there was definitely something happening. So he has now come out and made a public statement about that situation and told GQ in an interview that was published today. He said, I will always have nothing but love for her, speaking about his ex-girlfriend, and respect for her. Everyone's always going to have their own narrative on things and that, and she's welcome to it. Relationships are really hard, and when two people break up, they each go to their own brunch and they will each tell their own narrative. Mm-hmm. And he's very close with Tom Cruise, who of course was a cast member with him on Top Gun. And Tom actually said that he had given him the advice that when his career was going to blow up from Top Gun, he said, hey, it's going to get really, really loud, and it is your job to just turn the volume down. Just remember, you have your hand on that switch. You have your hand on the ability to turn up that noise or turn it down. And really just turning down the noise and trusting your own gut has been a real godsend for me.
Dude, that has been like the forefront of my mind for the past couple of weeks, and that is tuning out the noise. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so prevalent now, especially with social media and the internet. There is so much noise that it distracts you from what truly is important. And it's deciphering. It's the book that we all read, The Art of Not Giving an F.
Uh-huh.
And it's deciphering and determining what is worthy of your time and attention and what is not, and tuning out the nonsense.
The Burt Show.
My mission was to tune out the noise.
All right.
Easier said than done, especially if you're like me and you got misophonia. So I am talking literally and figuratively. So this past vacation, for me, I had set intentions. The intention on doing abso-freaking-lutely nothing.
Haven't you set that intention for like the last, I don't know, 15 years or so?
Yeah, and I've been pretty good at it. No, I'm just kidding. So with this vacation, it was about like rekindling my romance with my husband, which we were very much able to do. It was about reconnecting with my husband and my son and reconnecting with myself. So it sounds, I get it, very woo-woo, but I have kind of felt myself flailing lately because mm-hmm. There's so much on the to-do list, right? And it's like I'm constantly looking at my schedule to see what I have coming up later today, tomorrow, next week. You know, there's always, you know, something that I need to get for Jimmy when it comes to school. And I've just really been taking stock on what I'm putting my energy into mm-hmm. and am I getting back what I'm putting in, mm-hmm. all right?
Okay.
And so when it came to tuning out the noise, I was catching myself not putting my focus where it needs to be, which is on what should matter most in your life. I feel like we can get so distracted so easily. And while on this vacation, I really wanted to take the time to, and this was like what I kept saying to myself literally every single day, tune out the noise. Like, stop focusing, one, on things that you can't change,
mm-hmm.
and two, focus on the things that matter and bring you joy. And yes, life is going to throw you curveballs. Well, you know, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be hurdles. Like, whatever anecdote example you want to use there, but by maintaining that mindset, I'm hoping not to get overwhelmed by any obstacles that might come my way. And so as I was sitting on the beach, and it started small, and then, but by starting small, it kind of morphed into something bigger. So because of my quote unquote misophonia, which it's never been like officially diagnosed, but it's very apparent that, you know, any little repetitive noise will send me into a blinding rage. So I'm on the beach and I'm trying to have myself a good time. And then there's somebody, you know, not too far down. And of course they're there listening to music, and it's their space. And if music makes them happy, like, so be it. But they're listening to bro country, and I just want to hear the waves crash on the shore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nature, like, it's the most beautiful sound in nature. Why would you drown it out with Florida Georgia Line? I don't know.
Well, Florida Georgia Line is the most beautiful sound, not in nature.
But I had to, like, and so I could sit there, and I could fester, and I could focus on that trash bro country that was, you know, playing a couple feet away from me, or I could sit there and focus on my son playing in the sand with his dump trucks and watching the ocean. And it was in that moment in changing my mindset and like, this is their life and this is what they're choosing to do with it. And it's okay. This is my life and what I'm choosing to do with it. And I just need it. So little things like that. Then it happened at a sunset. And so, like, as far as tuning out the noise, this wasn't audible, but it was comical. Because, and this also goes in line with me and expectations. And I think people get it twisted when you say lower your expectations. That doesn't mean you're going to allow people to walk all over you, mm-hmm. right? It just means that you're going to hold, in your life, you are going to hold things more preciously than other people as far as, like, your priority list, right?
my priority list isn't going to look like Bert's, isn't going to look like Abby's, isn't going to look like Cassie's. And that's okay. All right. We all have our own lived experiences. We all know what's most important to us. So I'm sitting there and this is about managing the expectations of the sunset. So Jimmy was in bed because, you know, the time change. So it's my husband and I sitting on the beach watching the sunset, right? And so as we're sitting there watching it, dude, like the sun is what?
You're getting mad at the sun?
No, because I think I know where you're going with this. But just play it out.
Yeah. So the sun is about to set. It's gorgeous, right? It's like a perfect sunset. And then out of nowhere comes this truck and he pulls out and he parks right in front of the sun and he starts taking up the beach chairs on the beach. Okay. And then he turns up his volume and it just, baby, it was song.
No, again, this wasn't audible noise. This was just visual noise for me because there's all different types of noise, right?
Yep.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, so here's the deal. I'm sitting on the beach with my husband with a glass of wine. We're laughing our butts off, having a great conversation. So either I can turn this into a negative or I can just laugh at it. It's still a beautiful sunset. There just happens to be a butt ugly pickup truck in the front of it.
I just can't see it.
I just
but
can't.
It's there.
No, no, it was classic because the sun was literally setting into the ocean and setting right into the truck. So it got me thinking about like these little things and then applying it to life on like a grander scale. And I can get, you can let the, like a, that's a little thing, right? And you can let these little things eat at you and bother you, or you can brush it off and focus on what matters. And that's where it's completely up to you to decipher in your life what is a big thing and what is a small thing. Those people listening to country music on the beach, small thing. The truck being parked in front of the sunset, a small thing. Like,
don't call his truck small.
It wasn't. It was big. He was picking up a bunch of chairs and umbrellas. So as I was moving forward through the week, now I was taking it on a bigger scale in my life because there's so much noise online. There's so much noise on social media. And I have caught myself getting caught up in the noise and letting that affect my decision making and my confidence. Mm. And this is where I really needed like to put my foot down. I'm like, I need to be resolute in who I am as a person and not let this outside noise affect my decisions. And also not let it detract from this beautiful life I have created with my husband and my son. And that's where like I came home feeling such a sense of gratitude because I have gotten so distracted by the noise. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the beauty that was in front of me. And I am constantly going to go back to that video of me sitting in a beach chair and watching my son chase my husband in the surf and my son's joyous, giddy laugh bellowing out of him as the waves are crashing and them just running after each other. I'm like, that's the stuff that matters. And it was just this realization that if I really like, and you're going to falter, right? Like you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, but just coming to that realization and, you know, we're going to face adversity, but realizing like, my God, like all this stuff, it doesn't matter. Like it really, like I am looking at what matters and like taking that with me. And it was just this. So now, and you're going to love this analogy because I did some digging, you know, trying to find some more useful tools about like tuning out noise and being intuitive of yourself and finding like this inner peace. And it's a sports analogy, so okay. you're gonna appreciate this.
All right, I just checked back into the conversation.
Mm-hmm, I figured. Kidding. So this was from Thrive Global, and it's a whole article about tuning out the noise. I'll share it with Rebecca so she can share it. But she goes, picture Kevin Costner in For the Love of the Game.
Ah, yes. I'm seeing it very clearly.
Again, this was, I 1000% pulled this just for Bert. Because I'm like, I'm going to talk about all this like family fun on the beach. And I'm like, this is going to hit him.
No. I've been, seriously, this has all been really, really great.
I'm just mentally tasting the Sauvignon Blanc I knew you were drinking.
And it was so good. All right. I made the best Aperol spritz of my life. Even like the wine in my drinks tasted better because I was just more focused on what I needed to be focused on. Anyway, so picture Kevin Costner in For the Love of the Game.
He's pitching his final game with an injured shoulder. The crowd is cheering. As he's getting ready to pitch, he locks in his mindset. He says to himself, reset the mechanism. And this cancels out all the noise around him so he can focus. Create an action for yourself that sets your mindset and locks out the noise. A simple action like I am suggesting will force you to focus and set your mindset. So it is as simple as coming up with a phrase like reset the mechanism. For me, it was tune out the noise. Whenever I caught myself getting distracted, I knew whatever I saw online or whatever was happening, I literally grounded myself and I said, tune out the noise. And I'm not kidding you. In that instance, I was focused on what was important, what mattered. And I saw more beauty in this last vacation than I think I've ever seen in any previous one.
This is really striking a chord with me because I started doing something similar, not to tune out stuff, but to stop ruminating and fixating on catastrophes or getting wrapped up or overthinking. And I just tell myself, I'm like, you can decide not to. And I just decide not to. Huh. And it's that trigger phrase, though. Like, yep. That's what's making me think of it.
So we're all in the same place because I had a trigger phrase also. This is not a joke. A trigger phrase this vacation also.
Yeah.
And it was, shh, God's got it.
It's a great trigger phrase, man.
And I used it over and over and over again.
And it does wonders as far as just resetting, resetting your mindset and getting you focused back on what really matters.
That's so funny because mine was, shh, catastrophize more.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.